News Radio KFBK.
Drivers will have to suffer through overnight closures. Sacramento's H Street Bridge over the American River closed last night at 8 p.m. as the Army works to beef up the levee underneath. The levee work is necessary to close a gap in the existing seepage cutoff wall inside the levee. The partial lane closures are expected to occur from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. each night this month. The bridge will remain open to traffic in both directions at all times, but traffic delays are likely. Access to the bike trail along the levee also will continue, but with detours already in place. Construction jobs show a big gain in the Sacramento area, according to Brian Tourmail with the Association of General Contractors of America. Building from the end of 2013 to the end of 2014 is up 10%.
And that puts the Sacramento metro area in the top of the list in terms of adding new construction jobs. Out of the 339 metro areas we track, Sacramento ranks 42nd.
Tourmail suggesting the downtown area and the arena could well fuel a construction boom through the rest of the new year. Your next update at 10:30. I'm Mary West, News Radio KFBK on 93.1 FM and 1530 AM.
Hi, this is Tom Daves. Let me take the stress out of selling your home. Just sit down with me. We'll come up with a price and a deadline. And if the home's not sold, boom, I'll buy it. Please call me at 916-296-5841. That's 296-5841 or TomDaves.com.
The following program is presented by Hanson McLean.
It's time for Hanson McLean Advisors Money Matters, hosted by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, credentialed financial advisors serving you since 1993.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us this weekend.
That's right. Glad you are here with us, both myself and my co-host. We're both financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend our weekdays working with people like you, helping them plan their financial futures. We come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. And what could be more exciting about that than that?
I can't imagine. Huh? Wake the kids.
What else would you want to be doing than
call the neighbors?
Spending your weekend with the financial advisors on the air.
Yeah, no, nothing better. Shopping for appliances.
Shopping for appliances.
Waiting in line at the Costco.
I had to buy a fridge not that long ago. And that is like a pain. There's certain things in life I really don't like. I don't like going into, what is it, Best Buy? What is that?
Yeah, Best.
I don't like that store.
The blue store.
And no offense to Best Buy or the stockholders or anything. But the challenge I have with, first of all, I feel inept. I can figure out a refrigerator. But when it comes to some of the electronic stuff.
You just have to guess.
Yeah, I don't know. And
call your nephew. I call like a 21-year-old. I'll tell you what to buy.
Huh?
I called like one of my nephews, a 21-year-old. They'll tell you what to buy.
Any case.
But it's a financial show. Let's talk about that. We're going to stick to the finances.
We will stick to the finances. But, of course, this program, we talk about all things financial. We take calls, answer questions, things that are happening in your financial life. If you would like to be part of the program, have a question for us regarding your retirement or kids' education or estate planning, taxes, insurance, whatever the case may be. 921-1530 is the number. Again, that's 921-1530. You can also send us an email at questions@moneymatters.com.
Questions at Money Matters. And we will read your email on the air.
We may.
If appropriate. And answer the question.
We may.
Yes.
If it's
appropriate. If we find it significantly interesting.
Well, we can't answer them all, obviously.
Why is that obvious? Why can't you answer them all? We could answer them all if we so desired.
All right. If it was truly, I could probably answer 1,000 a week if need be.
Yeah.
If I cut out everything else in my life.
Yes. We will answer the questions at Money Matters.
In the timing that we allot in our lives and the questions of which
to your questions, yes. Yeah.
So why don't we start, though? And
want to take a call?
Let's do that and make it exciting. We're talking with Earl. Earl, you're with Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Earl.
I needed to have a question answered. You know, I made an investment many, 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 many years ago in term life insurance.
Okay.
and I had $25,000 worth of insurance. It was very cheap at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now I'm 80 years old, and it's like $100-something a month. And I'm wondering, is there any way that I could get the money that I paid into it or get out of it? I just don't know.
Oh, so I assume you have a universal life
or a
whole life.
He has a term life policy.
Is it a term?
You said it was a term life insurance policy?
Yes.
Okay, so you bought, what it sounds like, is you bought a 20-year level term policy. So you made the decision at that time, I'm going to buy an insurance policy that's going to be for a term of 20 years, and the premiums are X dollars. And, of course, no one gets out of this world alive, right? So we all have, at some point in time, we're going to pass away. life insurance is really, for the most of the time, it's designed to protect for an untimely death.
It's more than 20 years now.
Yeah, that's yes, correct. But it didn't have any cash value component in it. So the question is, can you pay out what you put in? Will they give you any money? And the answer is no. Think about it like your homeowner's insurance.
Auto insurance.
You pay all these dollars towards your homeowner's insurance. If your house doesn't burn down, they don't come back and give you all the money, right?
Right.
You just didn't file a claim. Fortunately for you, you didn't file a claim on your life insurance policy.
No.
So, the money that you had deposited is...
The question is,
do you need any? Why do you own it?
No. Well, the problem that I have is that it keeps increasing all the time.
The question is, why do you need life insurance?
Well, I did get that policy when I was younger, thinking that I needed something in case I passed away. But
now, why do you need life insurance? So who's dependent upon you? Do you still work?
Yeah, my wife is. I don't work anymore.
Okay, so if you passed away, would your wife's financial situation change dramatically that you would want to provide?
Do you have a pension or something that will end if you die?
Well, we have a small pension, but that's about it. And so I am wondering, what are the benefits now of life insurance, except that if I passed away, she would get $25,000.
Yeah, yes. Here's the challenge, right? So life insurance companies take in more premiums, life insurance premiums, like you're paying, than they pay out in death claims. That's just how it works, right? That's how insurance companies work. And, of course, they have their own overhead and all those other expenses they have. So they actually pay out about 50 cents on the dollar. So if all of us bought term life insurance and kept paying, the majority of us are going to live a normal life expectancy, which the insurance companies count on. There'll be a few that are going to die young. That's the ones the insurance companies are going to have to pay out the extra dollars. And some that live even longer, which the insurance company is going to make additional money on. So,
Is it beneficial to just keep paying?
No.
Premium?
No.
Get worse. And
Earl, what is your net worth? If you sold everything you owned and put it in a suitcase, how much money would be in that suitcase?
I'm not sure. Probably about $50,000.
Including your home and everything else?
Right.
Yeah, I don't think you need this life insurance policy.
I should just quit paying it.
That is what I would do, Scott.
I can save this additional $100.
There we go.
If you're concerned about your wife having some money for final expenses, then I would look at buying a smaller policy and a whole life policy at this point.
But Scott, I wouldn't.
All right, I appreciate that.
I would just let it lapse. So appreciate the call.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, and the funny thing about, with any sort of insurance, whether it's life insurance, long-term care insurance, homeowner's insurance, auto insurance, health insurance, the insurance companies pay out less in claims than they bring in premiums. They have to, by design.
That's how it works.
That's how it works. And life insurance originally started with... communities would come together. Everyone would have pitched in a little money each year.
When someone died. Well, originally, it's when someone died. When someone died, you have a small community. People would say, okay, here's, $10 or $20 to put it. And then someone said, well, why don't we just put it aside on a monthly basis rather than, when someone dies and will pull the dollars before it's actually needed. And that's where you actually saw life insurance. The advent came from a lot of fraternal organizations, the Knights of Columbus, which the International Order of Foresters, they were fraternal organizations, Lutheran Brotherhood. And that's where life insurance took its start. You've actually seen some of these fraternal organizations. They've turned into mutual companies like Mass Mutual, right? And then you've seen some of these mutual companies, and a mutual company means it's owned by the
shareholders, the life of the policyholders.
You've actually seen these convert to public companies, and that's the history of life insurance. And it doesn't really get any better than that.
History of life insurance. We'll have a one-hour special program on the history of life insurance.
You can tune into next week with the history of a certificate of deposit.
But so here's the thing with life insurance, though, in all seriousness, because we're all going to die, right? And we're all going to have some expenses that are going to be left. Not much, but something to take care of. And quite frankly, in a lot of families, the expenses decrease. There's not the second person there who's consuming food and entertainment and all the health expenses.
Is that the second person? The second person, my wife husband?
Anyway, so my point with this, the challenge is you're better off if throughout your life to save some money aside to pay for those final expenses.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. Life insurance is necessary when we're young. Typically when we're younger, we have people dependent upon our income stream, and it's designed to replace an income stream when we're not there. If we're older, the income stream might be a pension that would cease, that we have life insurance to offset.
But Scott, so Earl's in his 80s and he has a term life insurance policy. Highly unusual.
Because the premiums get more and more expensive the older you get, which is why whole life salespeople say you should buy it when you're younger. And say, look, buy term insurance when you're younger, set aside a few bucks so you've got burial costs when you're old. And life insurance was sometimes used for estate planning purposes. If your estate's larger than, say, $10 million, that's 10.6, I think, for a married couple before estate taxes kick in. If it's larger than that, then there might be a case for having some permanent life insurance to pay for that. So anyway, there it is on life insurance. We're taking a short break. When we come back, we will continue with calls here at Hanson McLean's Money Matters. 921-1530 is the number to join us. You are listening to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Being stuck in traffic drives me crazy. KFBK lets me know where and why the traffic is bad, and they give me alternate routes. I'd be crazy not to listen.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes. Mornings and afternoons. News Radio KFBK. Now on FM at 93.1.
The financial world is much more complex today than it was a generation ago. It used to be that all one needed to do was park their money in a high-yielding bank account and live off the interest. Those days are no more. With interest rates so low and the world so unsettling, it is now more important than ever that your retirement savings is managed with a focus on both return and downside protection. That's where Hanson McLean comes in. Hanson McLean has been serving folks for over 20 years, helping them achieve their financial and retirement goals. Plus, Hanson McLean Advisors is a registered investment advisory firm with the ability to choose from thousands of investments, both commonplace funds as well as less-known offerings. If you haven't seen what Hanson McLean Advisors can do for you, I encourage you to give their office a call and schedule a visit with one of their advisors. They have offices conveniently located in Roseville, Folsom, and Sacramento. Contact them today at HansonMcLean.com or 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for, we assume you're holding on. After that riveting discussion on the history of life insurance.
Oh my gosh, that is something. That is something, isn't it?
What?
That whole life insurance story.
Have you ever thought about how, of course you've thought about this, but it's interesting how complicated our financial world has become, our lives in general. As the economy continues to grow and our standard of living's increase, along with that is a tremendous level of complexity.
That is, yes.
When not only, I mean, complexity with the whole tax structure, we can find a job, but then we've got all these different things of taxes to deal with. We've got, for medical, it's not just like there's a medical clinic in the village that we go and see the local doctor can help us. It's very complicated there. So Our medical care is very complicated. Our retirement system is extremely complicated. Our investment.
Social Security is phenomenally complicated. Making the right selection as the Social Security benefits that you do you file and suspend? Do you?
Those are. I mean, it's just
complicated. You're right.
How complicated. And then you've got the financing of all kinds of stuff and the debts we get involved in. And it's just an interesting world. And some people have an easy time navigating through it.
Some people actually understand money fairly well. And some, it is an alien concept.
Correct. And bright people.
Oh, you know, it's interesting.
So very bright, educated people.
The assumption is that if you have money, that you understand money. And it's not necessarily true. Because I know many people that have money that were really, really brilliant at what they did. And that's where their money came from. But they didn't quite understand how the mechanism of money works and what to do with it and how to save it.
That's right.
So people that you would that are what you would refer to as wealthy. It's interesting.
Yeah, a lot of wealthy people.
Yeah.
One percenters that don't.
One half of one percenters.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know why. I just started thinking about it.
Well, these nice people have been waiting.
921-1530 is the number. Let's talk with Frank. Frank, you're with Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Hi there.
Hi.
Okay, so my situation is I'm 58. I never really accumulated any money, and I'm still working.
Okay.
And my father passed away, and the total amount cash that, there's three of us and split three ways, the total amount of cash that eventually I'll get is about $79,000, but right now I have 31 of it.
Okay, so you've got another $48,000 coming in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometime when these things, mature or whatever.
Okay.
But right now I have 31 of it.
And, sorry about your father, by the way.
Well, he was 91. So
wow.
Yeah, okay. I figure he lived a good life.
Yeah.
People keep telling me, you ought to put it into a money market. And I even went and opened up a money market account, but I have yet to transfer the money into it because, mm-hmm. I'm just a little bit worried about what's going to happen to it.
Okay. And Frank, do you own a home?
Yeah. So Frank, I'm glad you called because I think, the first thing we do is need to figure out what's the long-term plan here, right? So you're 58 years old. You said you really haven't accumulated much in the way of assets. At some point in time, you're either going to want to retire or going to have to retire. So it'd be nice to have something to draw upon.
Oftentimes we see this. We even see it with investment advisors or financial planners that they put the investment in front of
I've got this great thing. It's going to do this for you and that for you. And
yeah, and the first thing you need to do is to determine what your objective is. So let me ask you a couple questions. Are you married?
I'm not married.
Do you own a home?
I do not own a home.
Have you owned a home?
I've never owned a home.
Okay. And what's your approximate income?
Not about $2,400 a month.
Okay, so $30,000 a year.
Yeah.
And any children?
None.
Do you have any debts?
I don't really have any debts. I'm getting a little bit of flack from the IRS, but I can clear that up.
And are you self-employed or do you work for someone?
I'm basically self-employed.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you pay in rent a month?
About $700.
You know, I think I'd buy a house.
You think you'd buy a house? Okay.
I think I'd buy a house. Scott?
I don't know if my credit's all that hot. Also, I now own, one-third of the house in Dover, Delaware.
You're not selling the home?
No, we're letting my brother
That's a mistake.
Okay. All right. That's a complicated thing.
That's another situation.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'd try to buy a house.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then look here's one.
$79,000 and it uses the down.
His down payment. Maybe it's if you look at the price range of what your rent that you're paying.
What are you renting now? Is it an apartment or?
I'm just I'm just living in a house, and I'm just paying rent in a house.
Okay. So you can get a condo, $250,000.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough.
No, that's not going to work.
I'd look, Scott. I would look. Because it's the biggest hedge he has for inflation.
That's
is,
the big. That's the challenge.
Is and you look at it and you go, well, I'm going to.
Even if it was a modular home.
I'd be okay with that as well. I think you should look at buying a
some sort of
modest place to live.
Are you? You don't rent a whole house right now, is that correct?
No. I just I'm just a room actually.
Yeah, I mean the problem is Pat, he's going to have a hard time
qualifying and making the rent and payment, the mortgage payment,
all the other issues that go along with it. Do you like your living situation, or would you rather have something different?
No. I don't really like the living situation. I just
I
would consider a modular home.
I think I would go on the lower end of a very, very modest home.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would look at one of those two. But what we'd like you to do is
because with that, the challenge you've got now, as you continue to get older, if we have inflation, I mean, you weren't paying $700 a month to rent a room 20 years ago or 30 years ago.
Right.
Right. So odds are it's going to keep getting more expensive. And as you get older and you're not able to work as much, it'd be nice. Certainly it'd be nice if you had your roof covered, that taken care of. If you can wait till say age 70 for Social Security, you'll find your Social Security income.
And Scott, the reason I wouldn't buy a modular home is that he may want to convert this to a reverse mortgage when he's 70, and you can't do that with a modular home.
Well, another option is to set these
dollars
aside.
Well, you got to tell me I'm right.
No, you're right. Well, I'm just thinking another option is to set these dollars aside, and at age
62,
use a reverse mortgage to get a home.
Purchase a home. I think that's a good idea as well. I think that's a great idea.
The other thing is that, I might not stay, a few years from now, I might not stay in California. How? Right now, I don't have.
I appreciate that. Tell me what the value of the home that your brother's living in that you own in Delaware.
Not much.
Boy.
$100,000?
I don't know values.
And who knows how long you'll be there,
that's
too.
That's a
right?
good point. Hey, I kind of like Scott. I like Scott's idea.
I hate to say it.
I'd keep it in the
bank.
I'm going
to throw another idea out there.
Go on.
Okay.
Go.
An immediate annuity. Or, here's the concern we have.
That he spends it.
Our concern is 5 years from now, 8 years from now, whatever it is, the $79,000 is no longer there. Right? And there's nothing to show for it. And you're getting older and you're not going to be able to work.
Right.
My
biggest concern is what would happen if I stuck it in the money market?
Nothing. Put it in the bank. Yeah. I would not invest these dollars in the equity or bond market.
I wouldn't buy any fancy life insurance
policy.
Don't talk to anyone selling you any investments.
And when you go to the bank, just say, I'm going to put it in a money market or a savings account. And they're going to say, well, you could talk to that guy in the nice tie or the lady with the beautiful sport coat on over there. Stay away from those people. You're going to do one of two things. You're either going to purchase a home now, you're going to purchase a home 4 years from now with the use of a reverse mortgage, or you're going to leave it in the bank as long as you possibly can. Those are your three options.
Okay.
That's the three options. I kind of like Scott's idea of putting it in the bank and using a reverse mortgage purchase in 4 years when you're age 62. And I kind of like that idea.
The other idea is to set it aside.
You want him to own a home.
If you were my brother, I would say we got to find a way to have a home, a roof covered.
Yes.
A roof over your head.
Because if you get a home and you have no mortgage by the time you're 70, and that's either doing it with a reverse mortgage or paying it down over the next 12 years, your Social Security will be enough for you to live modestly on.
Or buy a very modest modular home on a piece of land somewhere.
Okay. But so don't invest it in anything but a money market or bank.
Money markets are liquid. You can put the money in today, take it out tomorrow. And avoid the temptation of spending these
consider
dollars.
Consider buying either a modest home or a modular home. So appreciate the call.
Yeah, we wish you well.
Okay.
Sorry about
all
you.
Right.
Yeah, and these, you know, Pat, it's interesting when someone inherits money, or when they receive money from any source, it has the ability to change one's life. Sometimes for the good, not always necessarily for the good.
Correct.
And more often than not, the money is not spent wisely. The majority of the time. I mean, we see it.
Yes.
We see people receive inheritances and 2 weeks later come driving up with a brand new Cadillac.
And sometimes
a car that they would have never.
That's, sometimes that's okay if they would have bought a Cadillac prior to the inheritance. If they had the means.
Or if it was such a large amount that
it didn't matter.
It was peanuts.
But that isn't normally the case.
It's usually something like this sort of dollar amount, and you see a big chunk spent on a consumable product that is not going to last.
This money that came to Frank is a blessing.
It certainly could be. And that's why I mentioned an immediate annuity, and you looked at me like, But it could provide a monthly income.
But my point being is it could provide a monthly income, but the monthly income will be spent at the same rate. And what the ultimate goal is, if he was, Frank was your brother, you would sit down with him and say, look, we need to get a roof over your head so that you can work until you're 70 and then go on Social Security.
That's right.
And did it now.
That's exactly
right. Or used a reverse mortgage or bought a small modular home. That's what you would do with Frank if he was your brother. And then if Frank was my brother, we'd get the other brother living in the house in Maryland we all inherited out of the house.
But the other thing, a question on his, where's medical coverage is coming from? Because it could be Medi-Cal. We didn't get into that.
Oh.
Anyway. But our point is, when you in receiving some dollars, whether it's through an inheritance or through some other, we've all seen the studies. You look at the lottery winners and what happens to them.
There was a guy down the street that won the lottery and then moved into the neighborhood.
Your neighbor?
About 6 or 7 doors down.
Oh, really?
Yeah, about 10, 12 years ago.
They still live there?
No.
Oh, you're kidding?
Mm-mm.
Where'd they go? It's like, I better not talk about that.
Good times.
Particularly on the air.
Boy, I love their Christmas party. Good times.
Oh, were they the ones that had all the parties?
No, they're different. That is a different guy. He blew up too. Which isn't funny, but it happens.
Well, you can kind of see it sometimes.
You could see it happening.
Yeah.
You could see it happening.
In any case, we're going to take a short break here. When we come back, we'll continue with some calls. 921-1530 is the number to join Hanson McLean. Again, 921-1530. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Good morning. I'm Mary West, News Radio KFBK. A tragic shooting in Modesto, and the investigation is underway of Flight 8501. Details coming up in less than 60 seconds. But first, with traffic and weather together, here's KFBK's Peter Michaels.
Starting to see some collection of traffic on the West 80 outbound delay to the Yolo Causeway, but so far no significant delay westbound. We are getting that word of a crash now in the Placerville area, Shingle Road at Durick Road. That is an injury accident. Interstate 80 and 50 without chain requirements in the High Sierra. And next report is at 11 a.m. I'm Peter Michaels, News Radio, KFBK, 1530 a.m. and 93.1 FM.
Dry weather with a warming trend as we head into the early portion of next week. On this Saturday, some sunshine will reach 55 this afternoon, and then overnight, just a few clouds with a low of 35. Tomorrow, mix of clouds and sunshine with a high reaching 57. Monday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 50s, then highs in the 60s Tuesday. I'm Jeff Maher on News Radio, KFBK on 1530 AM and 93.1 FM.
It's 38 degrees in Sacramento, 43 degrees in Folsom under clear skies. Your time is 10:31. A Modesto family of four is dead, and police say that the shooter was the father, 57-year-old Steve Mingham, who later turned the gun on himself. Mingham allegedly shot his wife, his son, and his daughter before calling his brother, Joe.
Joe, I just killed my wife, Jan, my son, and my daughter, and I'm going to kill myself, take care of my dogs, click.
Joe Mingham told News 10 that while the crime itself was horrific, that his brother was a good man.
He was a good dad. He took good care of his daughter. He took good care of his son, and there was not, did I see any signs that he was going to do this.
Marital problems and financial struggles may have contributed to the fatal family shootings. A mobile home park is the most recent victim in Auburn's property theft spike. KFBK's Caitlin Lewis has the story.
Rock Creek Mobile Home Park is 2.2 miles away from the Placer County Main Jail.
There's been a series, approximately 15 break-ins so far. It's been sheds, mostly.
Park manager Eleanor McCampbell says the first break-in took place on November 19th, roughly the same time Prop 47 was passed.
When that took place, we started to see this spike in the crimes here.
Former Sacramento County District Attorney Jan Scully says irrespective of whether you're a bank robber or career criminal, Prop 47 makes property theft under $950 a misdemeanor.
I don't think it's speculation without some reasonable foundation to it that the passage of Prop 47 could account for the increase.
McCampbell says even though the majority of residents are elderly, they refuse to be victims and they're starting a neighborhood watch. Caitlin Lewis, News Radio, KFBK.
Indonesia is set to investigate apparent flight violations by AirAsia. The country's transport ministry says the aircraft that crashed this week had been flying on an unauthorized schedule. Meanwhile, recovery teams are narrowing their search for victims of Flight 8501 to an area off the coast of Borneo. About 30 bodies have been recovered so far. Officials are hoping for better weather to send the divers after locating several possible large pieces of aircraft wreckage in the Java Sea. Your next update at 11 o'clock. I'm Mary West, News Radio KFBK on 93.1 FM and 1530 AM.
Hanson McLean's Money Matters has been broadcast for nearly 20 years with one main goal, to help you make wise choices with your money. And what you hear each week on the radio is the same type of straightforward advice Hanson McLean provides to each client each week. Whether you're facing a retirement transition, a 401k review, a portfolio risk analysis, or other financial matter, the advisors at Hanson McLean are here to assist you. Their approach is to first listen to you and then help come up with a plan to provide a greater chance of success in achieving your financial goals. Hanson McLean is an independent advisory firm that chooses from a wide variety of financial tools that can range from investment products with the brand names that everyone knows to specialty investments that are as unique as your individual objectives. They combine these with years of experience and intensive research to help you meet your specific goals. So if you have yet to see how the advisors of Hanson McLean may benefit you, contact them today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit them at HansonMcLean.com.
Accurate forecasts at the top and bottom of every hour, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us, sir.
Yeah, what is it? Good weekend.
Big party at the house today for my 16-year-old son's birthday.
Who comes over for a 16-year-old?
It's a swim party. 19 kids.
Swim party?
Yeah.
Crank up the heater in the pool or something?
Not very much. That would be his desire, but
not in the middle of winter. You don't want to crank.
Well,
it doesn't seem like a swim party is what you have this time of year. Swim parties are for...
I'm not going to argue with him. What's you know, get a couple Costco pizzas and a swim party with his friends. I'm okay with that.
My daughter's birthday is Christmas Eve, which I actually think is probably the worst day because it just Christmas Eve, everyone's kind of getting in the Christmas spirit and all that. And so then you have to kind of set aside. And
okay.
So when she was little, we decided we'd try 1 year for having a half birthday. Like
oh,
in the middle.
Like in July.
In July.
How'd it go?
She had the
we had it on July 4th.
We had... Honey, look at the fireworks. This is all for you.
All for you, Jess.
Princess. I don't know. We only did it 1 year. It was good. It was a little hula party. She had all our friends over. Because she didn't, she never, we'd never get a party.
Mm.
And we'd.
No one really wants to come to your house.
When she was little. When she was little. I remember, you know, when kids are little, they say the funniest things. She said she wanted to have a sleepover on her birthday. And we're driving. She's in the back. And of course, a little car seat thing. And I said, honey, we can't. It's Christmas Eve. Well, Dan, but I said nobody can come. Is going to come to a sleepover. I know. She said, well, Dan, no. I said nobody. She says, well, so and so probably will. She's Jewish. Yeah, she's a little kid.
She's right.
And I said, okay, she might, but yeah. That's the only one you're going to have.
Yeah.
That one friend. So she never had the sleepover on her birthday.
That's sad.
And it scarred her for life.
That is terrible. No, anyway. That is awful. That Hanson household.
It's a mess. No, I'm kidding. Kidding. Joking.
Okay, let's. We're gonna take some calls. What do you think about that? Hey, if you want to join the show, 921-1530. It's area code 916-921-1530. Or you could email us at questions at moneymatters.com.
Yeah, and let's talk with Sheila. Sheila, you're with Hanson McLean.
Yes, hello.
Hi,
thanks
Sheila.
For taking my call.
Sure.
Hello.
Yes.
I have a question. I am married. In fact, I've been married for 38 years.
Wow.
My husband is turning 65 in February, and he has a couple of retirements, which one of them is from a private company, and they're offering us to take a lump sum, and the lump sum would be about $39,000. So I was looking at taking the lump sum and moving it into our IRA as one option. The other option was that taking about $20,000 of it and paying our second mortgage, which has an interest rate of 7.5%.
Oh. What's your family income ballpark?
It's about $180,000. So I was looking, probably we are around 20% tax bracket. So when I did the straight math, it may not make sense.
You're higher than that. You can look, there's two different things. There's your average tax. That's when you say, all right, based on my income, how much taxes do I pay last year or will I pay this year? And you can take that number and divide it by your income, and that gives you what your average tax rate is. But what we're concerned about is your marginal tax rate. What are those new dollars going to be taxed at, right? So you're actually, at this income level, you're probably at 27% federal and a 9.3% state. So you're 36% tax bracket. So,
and how much minimum would the monthly pension be if you took the monthly pension rather than the lump sum?
The monthly, depending, you know, which one you use.
Just a single life, the single life only pension, the one that is only for him, how much would it be a month?
$216.
$216 or
$260? No, $216.
Okay, and when does he plan on retiring?
You know, he has retired from this company. Currently, he's teaching, so he's not planning to retire from that. But he left this company, not retired. I mean, he left the company years ago.
So when the day comes when he stops teaching, what will happen to your income?
To our income, you know, I work for state. So hopefully when we retire, we still maybe, you know, I could still get about 60-70% on my salary.
Okay.
And what about him?
For him, from his teaching, he has retirement. So I would say that our income wouldn't be higher than 100, probably.
Okay. 100,000. So I'm inclined to actually have you take the lump sum because the rate of return on that. So what I did is I did what's called a net present value calculation based upon your husband's age, his life expectancy according to the IRS, and the rate of return and that monthly pension. And basically it works out to be about 3.2% depending upon whether you get the check at the beginning of the month or the end of the month, but it's about 3. We're going to call it about 3%. So the question, the first question you ask yourself is, what if I took this $39,000 and I put it in an account? What rate of return would I need to get in order to provide $216 a month in income? And it's about 3%.
And to have it paid out of his normal life expectancy.
His normal life. I did the same calculation that the company did to determine the size of the lump sum. So 3% is not a big number. So
not only that, considering that you're both working and your income will be lower when you stop working, if by taking these dollars in a pension today, you're just increasing the income today, as opposed to if we take the lump sum, roll it into an IRA and let it grow for a number of years, assuming you invest wisely, you'll be able to receive higher income in the future.
So that's what you want to do. So, you said something to us that was kind of a little bothersome. You said you had a second mortgage at 7.5%?
Yeah, I did. You know, I did get the second mortgage way back, and it's actually I have 4 more years to get it paid off,
And how much do you owe on the second mortgage?
$20,000.
And do you have a first mortgage on the house?
Yes, I do.
And what's the what do you owe on the first mortgage?
My first mortgage is $205,000.
And what's the interest rate? What's the interest rate?
3.75.
I'm sorry, say that again?
3.75%.
Okay. And are you putting money? Do you have any money in the bank?
It's some.
Okay.
Not enough to pay the second.
Not enough
off.
To pay the second. Are you putting?
No. I'm doing with my second mortgage, I'm paying $100 extra every month. Doing the same thing with my first mortgage, in fact.
Don't put anything extra on your first mortgage.
Do it all to your second.
Do it all to your second.
Do it all on the second.
Yeah. Everything. Okay. Don't pay a penny extra on your first mortgage until the second. Are you putting money in your 401k or 403b or 457?
Yes. Yeah.
And how much?
From my income, you know, besides what we do for our retirement, I do $1,000 a month.
Okay.
To a 401k.
You know, keep doing what you're doing.
No.
What?
No. I want her to pay this second.
I don't. I want her to pay it off over the 4 years that she's working at it now.
I think that she's got the discipline to stop the contributions into the company savings plan, the 401k, and pay down this mortgage at 7.5%. And then increase the contributions in the future.
I think long-term, they're better off financially sticking with the plan they have now.
Because you think they're more likely to execute.
Otherwise, there will not be as much saved in retirement when they both stop working. That's the bottom line.
And you think they're going to pay down the mortgage anyway?
She's going to pay down. Sheila sounds quite disciplined in getting this mortgage paid down.
Yeah, actually, you know, when I did the refinance, I insisted I didn't want it to be more than 10 years. So it is.
Oh, so when's your home going to be paid off?
I think this is going to get paid off probably in 6 or 7 years.
Oh, good for you.
Okay. I agree with Scott. Just keep it the same. Pay as much extra on that second mortgage as you possibly afford.
Yeah, and not the first.
And then roll that the pension lump sum that has been offered to your husband into an IRA, and don't take any distributions, and I'd put it in moderate to balanced portfolio. All righty?
The reason why we don't want you taking the money to pay off the second is the tax implications would be disastrous for you. You're going to give a 30-some-odd percent in taxes, which is way more than 7.5% you're paying now.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but I didn't know if there was another hidden benefit other than just not having the second mortgage. So I appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah, thank you. Sheila, call.
Very helpful.
Sheila, call anytime. Truly, anytime.
Okay.
Yeah. Appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks, Sheila. And matter of fact, here's Pat's cell phone number, so if you can call anytime you'd like with any question regarding.
Yes.
Anytime.
No one calls me on my cell anymore.
What do you mean?
I hardly get any calls on my cell at all. Do you get a lot of calls on the cell?
I call you on your cell. You called me on my cell today. I call you on your cell.
Yeah, but
it's like my only phone anymore.
But
I don't know why we still have a house phone. It kind of frustrates me. Was there an answering machine still on it? I got to listen every once in a while. They're usually not for me, and I don't know why. That's the burdens I carry.
It must be a struggle.
It's really hard.
It must
be. Which phone do I use today? It's tough having my life.
It must be.
All right, we're taking a short break. We'll continue on with some calls. 921-1530. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
The financial world is much more complex today than it was a generation ago. It used to be that all one needed to do was park their money in a high-yielding bank account and live off the interest. Those days are no more. With interest rates so low and the world so unsettling, it is now more important than ever that your retirement savings is managed with a focus on both return and downside protection. That's where Hanson McLean comes in. Hanson McLean has been serving folks for over 20 years, helping them achieve their financial and retirement goals. Plus, Hanson McLean Advisors is a registered investment advisory firm with the ability to choose from thousands of investments, both commonplace funds as well as less-known offerings. If you haven't seen what Hanson McLean Advisors can do for you, I encourage you to give their office a call and schedule a visit with one of their advisors. They have offices conveniently located in Roseville, Folsom, and Sacramento. Contact them today at HansonMcLean.com or 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Fantastic. Weekend. Always weekends are good, though. I'm one of those guys that I used to always be super excited on Monday morning and say, hey, you have the whole week ahead of you.
You used to be. That's good. That's good. You should lead a company, Scott, with that sort of motivation. Well, what are you going to get? On Monday morning, why don't we give the whole staff a demotivational talk?
Who feels good about coming into work on a Monday morning?
You know, when
you got the whole week ahead of you to work. Don't you love sitting here and entering data all day long? Isn't this a great job?
It's got, you'd be a great demotivational speaker. You know, listen, you know, when I started in this industry 20 years ago, I used to love to come to work.
It's a real drag now. Remember, we had a guy in our office that had the, you know, those motivational posters. Remember that? You can soar. There'd be the ego and soar. He had the demotivational.
They were pretty funny. He had one where like the bear was eating the salmon.
Things don't always work out as planned.
Yeah, he said sometimes a journey of 1,000 miles ends very, very badly. Then he had the other one that was like nails going into a board, and there was hammer marks all over the board, and it said there's no limit to the amount of damage we can do together as a team.
How do you remember those?
Because I thought they were great.
So we'll get some demotivational signs. Yeah. Maybe we can take like the most frustrated clients over the last 20 years. Every business has a few of those, right? And we'll get their quotes
on the walls.
It's always the 1% that kind of drive a little
crazy.
You
know what? Right? I do. I got to tell you, I was talking to my kids on the Jimmy. I'm not a huge Jimmy Kimmel fan, but I watch these mean.
Which one's which? I always get them.
He's the one with black hair.
Okay. Fallon's the guy from Saturday Night Live originally. Yes.
Okay, yes. So anyway,
he's funny,
celebrities read mean tweets. Have you ever seen it?
No. Oh, it's late night. What time is it?
I watch it on YouTube. Celebrities read.
YouTube. That's why you're not in the office on Monday mornings. Home watching YouTube of reruns of Jimmy Kimmel.
Celebrities read mean tweets, and it is hilarious because all these celebrities read these nasty, nasty tweets to people.
Anyway. Maybe I'll have to. So I should YouTube Jimmy Kimmel celebrity mean tweets?
If you just do celebrity mean tweets, you'll probably get there.
Okay. All right, 921-1530. We're talking to Lisa. Lisa, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi. I have an earthquake insurance question.
Okay.
We have four rentals. They're single-family homes and then our primary residence.
Mm-hmm.
We've never bought earthquake insurance before, and I'm kind of thinking about getting it on the rentals and not my primary residence. So I just wanted to get you guys' opinion on that.
You know, I got to tell you, I don't know if I have an opinion. I truly, because I struggle with it myself. And because on my home, I had earthquake insurance at one point in time. I don't now. On my rentals, I have not had earthquake insurance on them ever. I don't know. And part of the thing is,
so you don't have, I don't own earthquake insurance.
But I don't know. When I get these questions, I think, should I have earthquake insurance? What's the value of? You said you want them on the rentals, but not on your primary.
Well, that's one of the things I was thinking about, because at least I could deduct the premium it costs a little bit less. But I don't really know. I've had rentals for 20 years, and I get those things in the mail, and I just always throw them out.
It is a smart way to look at it, though. So if I'm going to have some insurance, I might as well have it on my business property where I can deduct the cost of the insurance.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
That is a smart way to look at things.
That's pretty darn bright.
No, it really is. go fish. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I have a friend who works in the California Earthquake Authority, whatever they call themselves. And he's involved in that, and he doesn't carry earthquake insurance. And so years ago, I made my decision not to carry earthquake insurance based upon, let's call him Jim.
Because that's his name. So you're going through this risk return ratio, right? Which is what insurance is, which is how much does it cost? And what's the probability of a risk?
So if we had an 8.5 earthquake or something in the state and it leveled all our homes, we would think, man, I really wish I had that earthquake insurance. But I also think if we had such a nasty earthquake like that, who knows what? I mean, how many billions of dollars did the federal government give to
Sandy and Katrina? The question is, they wouldn't make you necessarily whole on your investment properties as much as they'd make you whole on your primary residence.
Yeah.
So we have absolutely been of no help to you whatsoever,
no.
Lisa. I mean, none. Because I don't know.
I actually heard you talking about it a couple, maybe a month or so ago, probably a month now, when somebody else called in, and I thought, but it was, I think it was just on their primary, and that's,
yeah.
This is kind of what you said before. I thought, well,
we both, when you start talking, we both looked at each other like, did we just, it must
yeah,
deja vu
thinking,
all,
did I
all over
take
again.
This call before? I actually don't know. I'll tell you what. If I'll tell you what I'll do.
If I buy it,
I'm going to look at it. I'm going to price it again. I will price it again. And if I buy it, I'll let you know.
Okay.
It's one of those things you are, the odds, well, we don't really know what the odds are, right? I mean,
yeah.
Right? That's the thing. It's the unknown. We could watch the programs. They say, well, here's the risk and the big one's coming and that sort of thing. I mean, I'm 48 years old. I've grown up in California. Ever since I was a little kid, I've been waiting for the big
but
one to happen.
Doesn't...
I remember they teach you how to jump underneath your desk if there's an earthquake and stuff
but that
from Southern California.
But that doesn't mean anything.
It does mean something.
It doesn't mean anything.
You tell me my life matters for nothing.
No, the point being is that the frequency is irrelevant. It's the damage that takes place.
I understand.
I mean, Pompeii had never had a volcano go off on it before, and the volcano
it might have
was there for years and years and years before, while the city was there. It gets down to the risk return ratio. How much? Anyway, appreciate the call.
Okay.
So, all right.
Sorry, we're not of more help, Lisa. But
okay.
It's not an easy. I don't know what the percentage of people who own earthquake insurance is either. I have a feeling it's
relatively low.
It's probably pretty low, those who have an earthquake insurance.
And the deductible is relatively high in the scope of coverage. I'm going to look into it again.
And I know it's highly regulated in the state because they have to send you the notice. I can only imagine the cost of compliance for the insurance companies and what the taxpayers are spending to have the program going. But
I'm going to make a note to look into some earthquake insurance.
All right. So we're going to take an email here from Claire.
Hi,
Scott and Pat. I was hoping you could help my husband and I make a decision about financing a new home. We are looking at buying a new home for about $800,000. My husband is 70 and I'm 65. We're both working part-time. Our combined salary with Social Security is $100,000. Our current home is paid for and is worth between 4.25 and 4.75. I'm trying to think of the last time I've come across somebody at this stage in life that are looking to buy a bigger home. Maybe they're moving.
Maybe they're moving to the
Bay Area.
A different area, correct.
We have about $1 million in traditional IRAs and about $500,000 in Roth IRAs. We don't want to have to pull a large sum of money out of our IRAs for the house. My husband thinks we should get a traditional mortgage with the possibility of getting a reverse mortgage at a later time. I think we should consider using a reverse mortgage to purchase the home now and then have a much smaller mortgage and withdraw money from IRAs over several years to pay it off. We're not concerned about leaving money to our heirs. Between Social Security and pensions, we have about $85,000 yearly income when we both retire. So their income's, so they got plenty of money saved.
And they're still working.
So they can clearly afford the larger home.
We're not, we should have about $85,000 yearly income when we both retire.
So,
well,
retirement age, but yet they want to get a bigger house. One says, let's just use a traditional mortgage. We can look at a reverse mortgage in the future. One says, why don't we look at a reverse mortgage now? Here's the challenge we've got with a reverse mortgage. There's limits. On the government-insured reverse mortgage program, there's limits as to how much they'll consider, the maximum value they'll consider.
600 and...
Something. Let's call it 650, something like that. So maybe you can get a reverse mortgage for $300,000 or $250,000 towards this house. But the challenge would be...
I just got, but look, so there is one company out there that does jumbo reverse mortgages.
I don't know what the rates are.
It's called Urban Financial, and they're only available in three states: New Jersey.
Look at you,
California.
Where did this come from?
I don't remember the third state they're available in. It's called Urban Financial, relatively new product. And I don't know why I know that, because I don't sell reverse mortgages.
But even if they can get $300,000, they're almost there.
And the Roth IRA. So here's the only
danger.
They don't
want to use the Roth IRA, but they might.
I would
use a portion of it.
So here's the danger. I would absolutely use a reverse mortgage to purchase this if you were 100% certain this is going to be the last home you're ever going to buy.
100% certain.
You've got to be 100% certain that you want to live in that area if you're moving to a different geographic area and that you want to live in that house. If you are 100% certain this is the last home you are going to purchase, I would use a reverse mortgage to buy the house. And I'd do it immediately.
Actually, I had a client that it was mid-70s, recently widowed, family in the Bay Area, owned a home here. Obviously, a big difference in price, right? Which this might be what this couple's looking at. Didn't want to make the move there because of the costs. But yet, the family's children and grandkids were there, so was traveling back and forth a lot. Family wanted him to move to the Bay Area. And we used a reverse mortgage, sold his house here, used a reverse mortgage there. His kids loved the idea. He's now with the family. He didn't have to disturb his retirement
accounts. Achieved his objective. So
100%.
If this situation...
There are clearly times when reverse mortgages can do wonders and make a lot of sense.
So in this situation, I would use a reverse mortgage as large as I could, and the rest of it I would take out of the Roth IRA.
But
to
the reverse
make up
mortgage
the difference.
Would probably do the majority of it.
It could do most of it. Yeah. You might be out of pocket maybe $100 or $150,000.
I like the idea.
Yeah, I'd do it. Especially since the key thing you said is we are not concerned about leaving money to our heirs, which they are really quite pleased to hear that, mom and dad.
Well, there's other assets still as well.
Yes, there'll be plenty.
Odds are there'll still be equity in the home.
There'll be plenty.
Because the interest rates are, and do they still have a fixed interest rate product? I think you can get a fixed interest. You can get a fixed interest rate reverse mortgage at a pretty low rate.
And I would be more inclined to use a government reverse mortgage rather than the private one that I talked about.
It's going to be a much, much better rate. I haven't looked at the other rate, but I can.
And guarantee it.
Yeah, we can guarantee that.
That it's going to, yes, I can guarantee that.
Not much else we can guarantee. Anyway, clock says that we are running out of time. Scott Hansen and Pat McClain come here each weekend to be your financial advisors on the air. If you'd like to learn more about us, visit HansenMcClain.com. While you're there, you can sign up for a podcast of this very program and learn more about our firm and the kind of services we provide. So thanks for joining us, and we will see you next week.
Hanson McClain's Money Matters has been broadcast for nearly 20 years with one main goal, to help you make wise choices with your money. And what you hear each week on the radio is the same type of straightforward advice Hanson McClain provides to each client each week. Whether you're facing a retirement transition, a 401k review, a portfolio risk analysis, or other financial matter, the advisors at Hanson McClain are here to assist you. Their approach is to first listen to you and then help come up with a plan to provide a greater chance of success in achieving your financial goals. Hanson McClain is an independent advisory firm that chooses from a wide variety of financial tools that can range from investment products with the brand names that everyone knows to specialty investments that are as unique as your individual objectives. They combine these with years of experience and intensive research to help you meet your specific goals. So if you have yet to see how the advisors of Hanson McClain may benefit you, contact them today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit them at HansonMcClain.com.
Traffic 24/7, on the hour, on the half hour, and every 10 minutes during the mornings and afternoons. News Radio, KFBK AM Sacramento and KFBK FM Pollock Pines.